Psalm 148, I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit out of the ordinary for us. Normally, I read the scripture and you listen, but today we're participating together. I want to do what's known as a responsive reading from the Psalms, which means I'll be reading one verse and you'll be reading the next. I'll take the odd verses and we'll leave you to figure out why, but we'll take those and you take the even verses. Psalm 148, and then we're going to jump over to Psalm 150. So you can see that up there. Verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above." Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And all together, praise the Lord. And then Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Together, praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. So now people are on the edge of the seat wondering, what is he doing? Everything's been different so far. I'm not sure I can do this. It's good for you. Who has a favorite season of the year? What is it, Kathy Jo? Because it's warm. Somebody else, who has a favorite season of the year? Trout season. Now, when does that correspond into the regular season of the year? So we can figure out that Mark likes spring because of trout season. Somebody else, who has a different, over here. We'll go over here to Liam. Liam, favorite season of the year, what is it?
Fall.
Fall, why?
Because it's cold and colorful.
Cold and colorful. Anybody else? We got Linda.
I like winter because that's the time of year that you regroup.
Okay, that's the time of year. Now, what we notice is there are different seasons and people have preferences. Now, the good thing about living in New York State is that you can have all the seasons in 1 week. 10 days ago, it was 73. 4 days later, we had a snow day with 5 to 6 inches of snow. When I lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma for a couple of years, we had two seasons, hot and cold, and we had 1 day of spring and 1 day of fall. New England, Northeast, we're familiar with seasons of the year, and we all know what they are. But there's also seasons of life that we go through. This couple right here is going to go through one of those seasons about a month from now. Scott and Kathy Jo are going to be joined together in marriage in this facility, the first couple to be married in this new place. That's a season of their life. The Worcester family experienced the joy as he became a grandpa, she became a grandma, but their daughter Catherine and her husband Jake became parents. That certainly is a season of your life. We are in the launching season. We've launched one, we've launched two, and after this year, we'll be launching number three as he goes to college. So we're in the launching. Now, the Caldwell Bennetts are in the empty nest place. They keep telling me that it's a good place. I'm not sure yet because we're still dealing with losing children. But then we have the Migles who are in the retirement season of their life. But even within our seasons and stages of life, there are seasons. Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, in a very familiar passage of scripture, says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven." And then he begins to list a number of those activities. Seasons in our lives. Things that we go through. Take a look, though, at the last verse here on this, verse 4. There are also seasons that we go through emotionally. Come, next one up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. In the course of living our lives, we're going to have different seasons emotionally and different seasons and experiences. God's desire is that the seasons of our lives would be used by Him to season us so that we become more like Jesus Christ. That as we go through our experiences in life, as we have those highs and lows, that God uses them to mold us into the image of Christ. How do we do that? Because for some of us, those experiences, rather than making us better, make us bitter. And for some of us, those emotions get out of control and they start running the train. How can we manage, navigate the seasons of our lives? That's where this new sermon series comes in. This new sermon series is entitled A Psalm for All Seasons. God has blessed us with a book made up of 150 chapters. Longest book, chapter-wise, in the entire Bible. And there is a psalm for every season. Are you sad? There's a psalm for you. Are you scared? There's a psalm for you. Are you overwhelmed and stressed out? There's a psalm for you. Last week, Pastor Matt Splitgerber preached a message for us, letting us know there's some psalms in there in case we blow it. Did you know there's even a psalm for insomniacs? If you have trouble with sleeping at night, some night, and you're struggling to fall asleep, there's actually a psalm for that season as well. Look it up sometime, Psalm chapter 4. Don't do it now, because you'll be distracted, and you might fall asleep. Don't do that. Although Bill Caldwell-Bennett likes to say, if you lie down, you're more comfortable in church, but that's, anyhow. There's a psalm for all seasons, and the book of James, chapter 5, verse 13, says to me that, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Now, the NIV translates that word psalms as songs, and indeed, the psalms are songs. But the word psalm, the word that's translated psalm, is actually related to the word psalm. And so what James tells us is if you're happy, if you're having an oh happy day, and you need a psalm for an oh happy day, there's a psalm for that as well. And so I want to look at with you today at psalms that can be used when you are overjoyed. Because there's some times in our lives where everything just seems to come together and you are knowing the blessings of God and your heart is so full, you just want to be able to let it out. Well, there's some psalms for that. In fact, I opened our service with one of them and you read two of them with me. And one of the things that you will discover about Oh Happy Day Psalms is they have some things in common. The first thing they have in common is that psalms that are Oh Happy Day Psalms is they tend to be all-encompassing, inclusive, which means the psalmist wants everybody to get in on the praise. That the psalmist's heart is so full of God, so full of praise, it's not enough for him by himself. We start, however, Psalm 34, he starts as one individual worshiper. So take a look at Psalm 34. Oh, Psalm 86, excuse me, we'll go there first. Notice what he says. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me, you have delivered me. Worship always begins with you making a choice to worship God. You get to choose that. There's other parts of creation that automatically worship God just by virtue of their creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The stars don't decide, I'm not feeling it today. No, it's a rough one. Going through it, no. The stars just, we choose to. And so when we came into the service this morning, we made a conscious decision to pause and to prepare our hearts for worship of God. We're choosing as an individual to worship the Lord. It always starts there. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Sometimes you got to tell yourself, I'm praise. But what you find with O Happy Day Psalms is that one person praising just isn't enough. You want to invite people to join you. So in Psalm 34, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. I'm starting it. But I need a few more with me. So let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So what we have here is it's not just enough for me and Jesus. It's us and Jesus. Let all of us get on the act. Let's all of us, I'm going to back away so I don't knock my wife out. Let's all of us glorify the Lord. These Oh Happy Day praises, these Oh Happy Day Psalms require more than just an individual effort. It becomes corporate. It becomes community. But even that isn't enough for the psalmist. So in Psalm 100, he adds some more. He goes, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. See, it's not just enough for my tribe to praise God. It's not just enough for my church, God. I want everybody, everywhere, to join in telling God how great he is. I want everyone in on the action. Ever enlarging circles of praise. Starting with me, I will praise you. Inviting others to join me, we will praise you. Inviting the whole earth to join us, let us praise him. But even that's not enough. So Psalm 150 says, got to go bigger than that. Everything that has breath. She's scared. Hey, look, if you read in the Bible, it says that Paul motioned with his hands when he spoke, okay? I'm in good company. How about if I go this hand? There we go. So what we now have here is we've gone from people to every living thing with breath in it. The psalmist wants even animals in on this thing. He wants everything that has breath. You got to praise God. That an Oh Happy Day psalm isn't enough for a few. It's got to encompass everybody. But even that's not enough, because in Psalm 148, he now invites the heavens to join us. And not just the heavenly beings, but everything associated with heaven. So it says, praise him, angels, heavenly hosts, sun, moon, shining stars, highest heavens, waters above the sky. That's not enough. He goes on. He wants everything from the earth. So now we've got great sea creatures, ocean depths. He wants the lightning, the hail, the snow, the clouds, the winds, the mountains, the hills, the fruit trees, the cedars, the animals, the cattle. He wants everything. Do you see how this becomes all-encompassing, all-inclusive praise? Everything is invited to praise God. A hymn of praise, an Oh Happy Day psalm, is bigger than just me. It encompasses all of God's creation, saying, wow, God. I like what Isaiah says. It's not a psalm, but Isaiah says, hey, we want some mountains and hills bursting into song. We want the trees of the fields clapping their hands. I love the personification. Isaiah the prophet sees all of creation saying, count me in. Count me in. Can't praise him enough. In fact, Jesus makes it very clear. If we don't get it right, stones will have to step in. The Pharisees were complaining to Jesus because at the Palm Sunday, the entrance into Jerusalem, people are praising and they basically want Jesus to shut them up. And Jesus says, if they don't praise me, the stones will cry out. All of creation. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be outpraised by a stone. When I came into the service today, and I don't think that Caleb knew, DeLate, that he was going to be part of the sermon, but Caleb DeLate brought me a little stone. He goes, Here, I got it from outside. I don't want to have to invite the Stones in. I want y'all to do the praising. We'll let them praise God outside. But if we don't catch Oh Happy Day Psalms, I'll invite them in. I wonder what kind of harmonies they can bring up. Oh Happy Day, all-encompassing praise. And Oh Happy Day, praise. But that's not all. If you go back to the Psalms, there's something else you see besides all-encompassing praise. What you also see is fully engaging praise. Now, what's fully engaging mean? Well, sometimes we worship like this. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a place for contemplative, be still and know that I am God praise. Not saying there isn't. Holy hushes are biblical. But an Oh Happy Day Psalm, you just can't get away with peeping. You gotta shout. It's expressive. It's exuberant. It's everything I got. Praise. That's what I find in these hymns of praise. I'll show you and back it up. Take a look at Scripture. Shout for joy. I think if some of you shouted, you'd surprise yourself. So I'm going to give you a chance to practice. On the count of three. Oh, man, I know Hoot Hoot's coming over there. On the count of three, let's have you with a shout say, praise the Lord. Okay? On the count of three. And I know some of you, this is way past your comfort zone. Okay? This is so far past your comfort zone. We do not yet have defibrillators in this church. Okay? But we do know CPR. And we're not afraid to use it. So, count of three. One, two, three. Okay, now, for those that didn't do it that first time because you thought it was kind of like stupid to do, we're going to do it again for you. I figure we'll keep doing it until you all get this, all right? Count of three. One, two, three.
Praise the Lord!
Okay, now, would you please look at your neighbor? Make sure they're not bleeding. Make sure their pulse is still going, their heart's still beating. Guess what? You just shouted to the Lord and it didn't kill you. You were expressive. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. That is not contemplative, meditative, be still and know. Now, if you want one of those, there's a psalm for that too. But it's not with Oh Happy Day praise. Oh Happy Day's praise is let it rip to God praise. It is throw off all of those restraints we put on ourselves because we don't want to look stupid. We don't want to embarrass ourselves. We're afraid of what people think. Exuberant Oh Happy Praise doesn't care what others think. It is so excited about God, it says, I got to let it rip and praise him. Now, if you don't think that's enough, we got a little bit more all-inclusive because Psalm 150 helps us get a little bit better. It says we're going to go praise the Lord and clap at the same time. We're going to give sustained applause to the Lord. Now, some of you, when you go to the high school, the volleyball team has taught everybody that when you recognize their players, you do this. They'll go like Jill Smith. Two little claps and they're done. Okay? God deserves more than that. Sustained applause, but shout. Well, actually, let's just do one at a time. Sustained applause for God. All right? I'm going to declare to you Jesus Christ is Lord or something of that nature, and you clap to him. Okay? Can you do that?
He's ready.
Oh, she's ready. Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah. Amen. Yes, he is. Amen. Amen. Let's put them together. Clapping, count of three, you're going to clap and say, praise the Lord. One, two. two, three. Amen. Amen. Ha. Amen. Amen. Worshiping the Lord. Can I get Psalm 150 now? All right. Now, notice what he says. He says, praise him with the sounding trumpet. Thank you, Ben. What you're finding is that the psalmist isn't calling us again to this quiet, kind of mellow, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a let it loose worship. It is sounding of the trumpet. Praise him. Do that one more time. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the tambourine. Who's bold enough to praise him in the dance? Praise him in the dance. Hallelujah. Now, you remember, David so praised the Lord that he was undignified. He danced before the Lord with all of it. For some of you, the thought of dancing, period, is tough. Dancing in front of other people? I would just like to suggest, are you more concerned about them or him? Let it rip in praise and celebration. Praise him with dancing. Praise him with the strings and with the flute. Nicely done, Hannah Richards.
Thank you.
Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Now, I almost called Dave Snare and asked him to bring cymbals. But my worry was in this place, that may be a little bit too much until we get the sound things up. Nah. But do you get the understanding of what the psalmist is saying? I so want God to know how much that I am overwhelmed with his glory. I want everything, everywhere to praise him. Does that make sense? All-encompassing, fully engaging. But there's one more piece. And if we miss this piece, we have missed the heart of worship. And that is, it is God exalting. Oh, happy day, praise is God exalting. You can go into a place and be whipped into a frenzy. You can clap and shout and jump. You can get goosebumps. You can get goosebumps on your goosebumps. You could get the rush, and you can go, wow, wasn't that cool? Wasn't that intense? Boy, I felt it. You know what? You could go to places around the world that are worshiping pagans and get that same rush. You can get the same release of endorphins in your body. You could almost, if you're not careful, begin to dance with demons. Oh, happy day, praise always keeps its focus on the one true King. Take a look at the Psalms. Shout for joy to the Lord. Worship the Lord. Come before him. Know that the Lord is God. It's he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever, his faithfulness. The psalmist would never walk away from that. We dare not, in our desire to be exuberant and expressive, make it all about the lights and the rock and the beat and the tune and the smoke machines and everything else that makes us feel. We must never lose sight of the true King. It always has been, and it always will be about the Lord. It must be. Take a look at Psalm 148. He reinforces it in Psalm 148. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Do you see a pattern? Next one. The name of the Lord, he commanded, he set them, he gave a decree. Praise the Lord. And Psalm 148, verse 12, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth. He has raised up. I've been a pastor now for 33 years. And it has been my experience that if we're not careful, we can develop Pavlov's dog worship. You know what Pavlov's dog does? It was an experiment that they did, behavioral conditioning, where a dog would be given food, a bell would ring, and the dog would be given food. The bell would ring, and the dog would be given food. The bell would ring, and the dog would be given food. The bell would ring, and the dog would not be given food, but the dog would salivate because it had been conditioned to believe food was coming. As Christians, if we're not careful, we can become conditioned. Drunk, like, and it becomes about us just acting the part. Us just drooling. Us just doing the stuff. And it becomes all about us, and the worship doesn't higher than us. Worship must always be throne-centered. Worship always must be throne-centered, because at the end of days, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It always has been and always will be about Him. And so what the psalmists want us to know, and it's the same thing going into Psalm 150, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty heavens, praise Him for His acts of power, praise Him for His surpassing greatness, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's about Him. I've pastored Calvary for 26 years come this summer. In the course of 26 years, I've watched us have seasons where the worship is right on the money and pure, and that worship is God-honoring, God-centered. And I must confess, there's some times where I've seen us as a church where we got caught up. We're in a new facility. It's a new day. And by God's grace, as your pastor, I want to dedicate this place, that this place will be God-oriented, throne-centered, God-exalted worship. Because when people come in off that street, frenzy won't change them. Goosebumps won't change them. A rush won't change them. Jesus Christ will change them. And we want to offer to them not this mealy mouse kind of, but an exuberant, expressive worship, a be still and know worship. We want to worship as God calls us that day to worship Him. I'm not saying we come in here, okay, we better do it again. Put on the old happy day praise. Let's dance. Let's jump. Let's drool. I'm saying however God meets us is how we're going to worship Him that day. And sometimes that means we'll be dancing around the sanctuary and putting our dignity at the foot of the cross and saying, I'm going to let it rip and praise Him. I don't care what you think. I only care what He thinks. And there's other times that we'll be on our face before God on a very warm floor because of radiant heating. And we're just going to be quiet before God. And no one will say a word. And that's just as much worship. There's times we might be on our knees and tears streaming down our cheeks. What we're saying is we're not going to pre-plan what God wants to do. We're going to be responding to what God wants to do. And we're going to come with a heart of worship. And when we come with our old happy day praise, you better believe that it will be all-encompassing, fully engaging, and God-exalting. Because that's what happy day psalms are all about. We're going to finish this part by giving you an opportunity as you go. You have a song for us, the worship team? We're going to give you a chance now. You did some worship before. Now you've got some training and equipping. Now we're going to give you a chance. Do you have that Mighty God one? Is that, which one do you have there? Mighty God? Jay? Mighty God? You got a Mighty God one? What do you got up there? We have days, it's an oh happy day. We want to be able to sing a hymn of praise, where we invite everything in creation to join us in the praise. That one is too small a number of praise. Lord, we want to be fully engaged. We are tired of always worrying about what everybody else thinks about us. We just want to let it rip like a child with a father and jump into your arms in praise. And we want to make it throne-centered, God exalting. So Lord, would you come alongside us now through your Spirit and empower us to do that? Oh, happy day.